Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Frank McKay, who's a star on this show. You know, I'm just kind of a little guy trying to make the big time, but Frank is the big guy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I feel like the big guy. In fact, Ernie has my seat like way low, like Letterman used to do to people. He's up really high. I'm like down on a cardboard box.
You got to know how to play this game.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a big shot in this world, yeah. Now, see, I learned this from Donald Trump.
Ah. How about him, right? He's
how about that?
Well, it's interesting.
He's a phenomenon.
Yeah. Let's see how it plays out. But again, you know, it's hard not to cheer him on if you're like from outside the mainstream. Some people are cheering him on, regardless of what their views are and everything else. I best serve him by keeping quiet, right? Because I'm the independence
you know,
guy.
So, it's so interesting that people are coming to his, you know, his. I don't think they're coming to his thinking. They're coming to the fact that he is telling everybody off.
Right. That's what it is. I mean, people are responding to his personality. I'll tell you what about Trump, though. He is making an otherwise unwatchable primary and process. Can't miss TV. It's unbelievable what he said. Everybody's tuned into it. It's all over the news. I mean, it's Donald Trump this. Trump did this. Trump did that.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I don't like any of them. I really don't. I don't like any. I don't think. Well, to be a president is just about as amazing a position as you can have. And it's got to be overwhelming to the guy who wins it and say, holy mackerel, where am I? I'm in a position where I could do a lot of harm. I could also do a lot of good, too.
Yeah, well, him or her, we should say, right? You said the
no,
guy.
No, I'm a male chauvinist from way back.
Okay, so you don't believe in a female president. You do. You're not a chauvinist.
No, I'm not.
You're not a chauvinist. I know that. You're a good guy.
Yeah.
You're a good, solid guy. I, on the other hand, I don't care who he or she is. I'm more concerned with the process changing, right? Because, look, here's the thing. As an independent, we believe, or I believe, and a group of people that think like me believe, that there should be three major parties in the country. Not another third party. There's millions of third parties. We need a third major party in the country. And what that'll do is, I believe it'll speak to the middle class. And if a candidate runs, whoever he or she may be, and gets, let's say, 20% of the vote.
Here's the problem I see with a third party, Frank. If you have a third party, and let's say the nation is divided, so you have 25 points for this guy, 25 points for this guy, and the rest goes to the winner. But he still didn't win the majority.
Yeah, but we don't know that. Per se. And again, probably you're laying out a scenario for those who want that. Look, it's changing the process. It's giving more voice to the people. Anytime you could point to me where more of something in a choice for a consumer or for a voter is worse than having less.
Oh, it's worse for me because I go to the supermarket, I don't know what to buy because I got 10,000 things that I could choose from.
Yeah. Well, your peaches are very important, and your pickles are very important. But again, a different process would be created if one of these candidates decide to run as an independent and they got 20% of the vote, 25% of the vote. There'd be $100 million roughly. $100 million in matching funds coming to this new third major party. Now, that's not to me. That's not to the candidate, per se. That's to a process. And then in 2020, you'll see people line up for $100 million. And you'll start getting guys like Ernie Fazio and people who think, hey, I can do this. I can run for president with $100 million. And you'll open up the process to a lot more people out there and a better quality of people. And if you could just do that twice.
But we understand the process is designed to keep that party out and to keep the competition only between the Republicans and the Democrats, they like this idea of having a duopoly, as Native once called it.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a proper term. It is a duopoly. It's a monopoly of two parties, two people, or in this case, parties, entities, and they control the whole situation. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is when you talk about, a guy like Nader, right? He's the guy who is looked at as the spoiler. He's the exact spoiler. He had no chance of winning, and he had a slight chance of creating a third major party in the country. If he would have gotten 5%, which he didn't on either of his runs, but if he would have gotten 5%, there would have been matching funds of, let's say, like $12 million, and that could have attracted. Now, back in Perot's day in 1996, he did get matching funds, and it was about $12 million. And then Buchanan came in and took over the Reform Party, and they just left it for dead. So it didn't
Buchanan
turn out
was a
well.
Terrible choice.
Yeah, but it wasn't a choice. He came in there and he just took the whole process over. It wasn't even. I fought against it. I split the Reform Party with a bunch of other people in the summer of 2000, and it was because we didn't like the way Buchanan just bullied his way in there. There was no process, and what he was doing is he was setting up an ideological party. Is exactly what we didn't want. And by the way, there was no room for him to run to the right of George W. Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, where was he going to run to that? And by the way, you got less than 1%.
I want to talk about what is lacking in the conversation with these parties, even the Democrats, not to single out the Republicans. We're not talking about limiting our spending on military so that we can put kids to college. We're not talking about getting universal education. We're not talking about building a transportation system that's second to none in the world. We're not talking about building a robust electrical system that is owned by the government and everybody buys in. Everybody wants to, they're so enamored with this idea of private ownership that you can't get anything done. So you have a crappy electrical system around, which is so vulnerable to people who would see us do harm. Do you think I'm a little too left on this?
No. I think you're right on. We're not seeing those issues, but let's keep something in mind. There's a process going on now that's a beauty contest. It's a beauty contest. It's a personality contest, and as far as everything goes, we're watching. I think the best system in the history of the universe, but it's flawed and it could be better. And again, I don't want to sound like a one line person, but what I think would change it is a third major party in the country. And you couldn't.
What about finance reform? What I mean by finance reform is not
you're
rules.
Talking about campaign finance reform.
Yeah, campaign finance, not rules that say you can pay this much or that much. Absolutely none. Everything comes right out of the Treasury of the United States. It would be cheaper for us in the long run.
Well, look, everything's semantics. When you look at what happened in Suffolk County, we actually passed a campaign finance reform bill. And what it said, and I still think to this day, that you can give a dollar of your tax money, or you can give an amount, and you have to check it off to go to public funding of candidates. Then those candidates have to choose to get it. And it's window dressing is what it is. So when you say campaign finance and campaign finance reform, obviously it's like saying I'm against mom or I'm against apple pie, but it depends. The devil's in the details. There's a million different forms of campaign finance reform. That's what I mean. Like we get caught up. And we get criticized for not taking ideological stances. And what we say to that, and I'm talking about the Independence Party, what we say to that is if you need somebody to tell you how you should raise your children or how you should live your life, how you should feel about abortion, about school prayer, whatever, then you need not worry about what we're doing, because there are two well-funded major parties that are just waiting to tell you what to do. They're waiting to incorporate you into their system.
But that sounds almost like libertarian.
In a sense, I mean, if I had to take a pick, like last time, I didn't vote for either of the major party candidates. I ended up voting for Brown. Was it Harry Brown, the Libertarian presidential candidate? I've never voted for a winning presidential candidate in my life, and most of the times it's somebody who had absolutely no chance from the get-go of doing it. I have some libertarian views, but it's not that.
I do
that.
Too, you know.
It's not that. Yeah, I know that. I know you do.
Yeah, it's you know what it is? We're always trying to put the guy in this pigeonhole or that pigeonhole or this pigeonhole. It ain't that way. We have different attitudes on different topics.
We do, and we have to do a part two. I have to bring you on my show. We got to finish this conversation. I'm looking at the clock, and we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time, but time goes fast when you have something to talk about. This is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. I have the pleasure of being with my friend Frank McKay, and this is a conversation that really should go forward. I hope we'll be able to do another show like this and put
anytime.
This together.
Your show was great. Your listeners are very fortunate because you're excellent. You're an excellent host, and the show is great.
This is Earnestly Speaking. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.